This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, everyone. Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind. Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24 pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere. And it's basketball season. My schedule is packed and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
On this early evening? I suppose we call it evening. I don't know what to call it. It's 7:02 in the p.m. McMonagle filling in for Keith. I got you on our 5-hour ride to midnight here on this Monday evening. Ray got Rami on the other side. Your calls at 888-808-1019. And, I think there's a real problem we have in the difference between tough and fake tough. And I'm hearing a lot of complaints that the Knicks aren't fake tough. I don't really give a damn if the Knicks are fake tough. I need them to be real tough. And I have an issue, or concern, should I say, about the toughness of this team. And I've been talking about this since the team was blown up and changed. Since they traded all those draft picks for Bridges, since they acquired Karl Anthony Towns and gave up Randall and DiVincenzo, I've been talking about how this Knick team was going to not only compete with the Boston Celtics of the world, they were also going to compete with last year's team that was tough and gritty and the city fell in love with, much like we are falling in love with St. John's, and we'll get to them, to a school and a franchise that has been... You know, you could argue basketball, the heartbeat of the city. These two franchises and schools that have been nothing for decades, finally here. And for the Knicks, that team was building. It got to last year, and we loved it. And we loved the toughness, and we loved the effort, and we loved the defense. And this year was going to have to compete with who they were, what kind of basketball they were playing. It felt like a Tibbs team. You knew this was going to be a different dynamic. And we'll get to the coach in a little bit. But not only are they competing with the best teams in the East, which they have completely failed against, but they'll be competing a little bit against last year's team because we never saw it come to fruition, right? It was injuries. It fell down the stretch. There was all kinds of, issues. Obviously, that team fell apart by the end. You felt they were better. than the Pacers, but ultimately just attrition and everybody going down. And we never actually saw. Randall obviously never comes back. We never got to see what that team we saw in January last year, what that team could be. And now we're trying to figure out what this team is. And we think we have found some sort of insight into who they are and what kind of toughness they are, because now they've handled this Draymond Green situation on the floor after the game. I don't need them to be tough guys and, you know, get their ass kicked and then walk off the floor. Oh, is that what tough guys do? The tough guys get their ass kicked during the game and then say, hey, you know, we're going to get, let's not talk to Draymond Green. He said nasty things about Karl Anthony Towns, our teammate. Let's just get off the floor. Because I remember, I mean, I know we like to harken back. I heard all the calls. I hear everybody. I know I take them. Everyone loves the 90s Knicks. So do I. I grew up on them. But if you want to talk about Oakley and Mason and Starks, let's talk about on the field. Or on the court, rather, excuse me. Let's talk about how tough they were on the court, not after the game even. You want to harken back to that age? How about the Detroit Pistons? Right, I was just watching the Jordan documentary again because it makes me feel like home. I don't know why. It brings me back to my childhood. But how about the Pistons and how tough they were? With Laimbeer and what they were on the court. What happened? What's their down moment? What's the moment everyone remembers of the Detroit Pistons? Walking off the field, walking off the court. I gotta say, if I say it one more time, I'm getting fined. Walk off the court without shaking the hands of the Bulls as they lost to them in the 91 Eastern Conference Finals. That's fake tough. Fake tough. I'm not looking for fake tough. And I'll be totally honest with you, this whole Draymond Green thing for me has been blown way out of proportion. Way out of proportion. Because this never, from the minute the words left his mouth on his podcast to the final layup that was the dagger in the game, which is what pisses me off, not what happened after the game. But at any of this time, did Karl Anthony Towns or the New York Knicks were under fire, had to answer a single question. This was not a legitimate thing. This is from a player who everybody rolls their eyes at everything he says, and the minute the words left his mouth that he was ducking Jimmy Butler, the entire collective NBA universe said, oh my God, what a moron. Like, this was never, wow, you think he's doing it? You think he's actually, I mean, that's what he's hearing. And he's you know, he's been around the league for forever. I mean, maybe he is joking to me. But, like, nobody said that. And then once we all knew why he was missing, this is a non-story. It's a non-story. Sure, does Karl Anthony Towns feel a way about it? Then step up and win the game. And that's where we have the issue. Where we have the issue is whether or not this team is capable, and I know they're down Brunson, but at the end of that game, where when they were double-teaming and triple-teaming Karl Anthony Towns, where were the options to go get buckets to beat this team? Where were the options to go get buckets? And we can complain about, oh, they should have thrown someone into the first row. Oh, there should have been some elbows. This was an opportunity to show they're tough. This isn't the 1990s. It isn't. It isn't, and it's not necessarily their game. Do you have to have some of that in you? Yes. Are you looking to have a little bit of that in you? Of course. Is it what Tibbs, and this is where I start to question the coach, because is it what Tibbs typically instills in his team? Yeah. And that's going to start to be a narrative, because we've already seen his own team and his players question his biggest liability, which is the minutes and how he handles the bench. And now we're questioning all of us collectively off of a couple of handshakes. We are questioning whether or not this team is tough enough. And we know we're questioning their defensive effort because it's not been there all year. So a Tibbs team that doesn't play defense, we question its toughness, and we all know the minutes are a problem. So his biggest weakness is as prevalent as ever, and the two strengths don't seem to be there. That's my problem. Not whether or not they all got together and said, let's not shake hands because we, you know, our friend is hurt. It's just so stupid. That's fake tough guy stuff. That's, you know what? I'm sorry. When he steps on the floor, goes around you to the basket to have a layup that solidifies the game, you know what? He's earned that handshake. He's earned the running of the mouth. And he's earned his moment. That's it. He won the game. I don't understand. Like, I have real questions about whether or not This team is tough enough. And you know when it presents itself? Do you know when I worry about this team? Do you know when I question their toughness and who they are and the collective nature of it and that this is like a group? And we just heard James Dolan on a podcast talking about this is the beginning of the team. We're just putting this team together. It's going to be a long run with this group of players. You know, there isn't, I mean, anything is possible, but they are not bringing another superstar. There's not going to be a dramatic change to this team. This is the group moving forward for the next handful of years and to see if they can finally overcome what's been eluding this team since 1973. Like, can they go win an NBA championship with this group? And we can question their toughness all we want over a Western Conference team that's had some good moments, and sure, the great player who was one pick away from being selected by the Knicks has come to the Garden. Was he 13-1? He dances all over the place. He hits threes for forever. It's a big party. You know how many, you want to start collecting a list of superstars who came to Madison Square Garden and had a party? It goes on forever. It goes on forever. What shouldn't change is whether or not the Knicks greet them after the party. It's whether or not they're going to stop them from having the party. That's the issue. I don't have issue whether or not they're shaking hands. I have a problem with the toughness of this team when I watch them get blown out in the first half of every single big-time game and question mark game and step-up game that they have played all year. Every time they've seen the Celtics. Every time they've seen the Cavs. That's when I question their toughness. Not whether or not they're throwing elbows and cheap shots and treating it like it's 1992. It's not. It's not. And we can talk about all we want to go back to 1992. Here's something for you in case you forgot. They didn't win either. We celebrate that era of Knick basketball like it's the golden age, you know, of NBA basketball. It didn't. The Knicks made one NBA Finals and they lost. I'm not trying to dog that team, but I'm tired of being compared to them. I'm tired of the Yankees getting compared to the Dynasty Yankees. At least they won 5 championships. You're going to compare the Knick era to the, hey, could never get Pat another great one. Like, that's the era we're trying to constantly get back to. How about something new? How about something different? How about a team that's tough, but also a team that can score in today's NBA? Getting so hung up on whether or not the coach was shaking hands with a guy who says whatever he wants, and the second it comes out of his mouth, no one takes it serious. Everyone knows where Karl Anthony Towns was. Everyone knows where Kat was. Everyone knows this guy's an idiot. Nobody takes him for real. Not this team. Karl Anthony Towns wasn't under pressure. He wasn't asked about this. This was a nothing issue other than another guy who typically runs his mouth, running his mouth again against me. And yeah, Karl Anthony Towns played with a physical aggression that we haven't seen from him a lot. And you'd like to see more of it. But the idea that these, you know, that his teammates let him down, or that there's some sort of collective toughness issue, or that they're not cohesive as a team because they went out on the floor graciously and shook hands with the team that just beat them, like they're supposed to storm off the court again, a la the 1991 Detroit Pistons, who kept Isaiah Thomas off the dream team. I can go back to the 90s, too. I got analogies from that era as well. Like, I'm concerned about the aggressive nature of Bridges getting to the foul line. I'm concerned about him going to the basket. I'm concerned about him fighting through screens. I'm not concerned with who he shakes his hands with after the game has been played, after the Knicks just lost. I don't want to lose the game. I don't want to, you know, I don't need to be bad sportsman after. That's fake tough guy. This is what we're complaining about? Like, honestly, this is what we're complaining about. We're complaining about the New York Knicks losing a basketball game and then not going out on the floor and somehow acknowledging stupid comments that don't deserve to be acknowledged and walk off the court like at least they'd be together. At least they'd be together. As sore losers. As sore losers. Why don't you beat him and let him walk off the floor like a fool and shut him up that way instead of, oh, let's ignore him. That'll prove our point. Let's go into their building, get our ass kicked, have him score the game-winning layup dagger, and then we'll just ignore him and we'll all feel better about things. At least they had an opportunity to show they were tough. Like, this team is more talented than last year's team. But there are questions about their defense, about their physical nature, about their toughness. And right now, obviously, without, you know, Brunson, who the hell is going to score a basket? So I'm not saying I don't have these questions. What I'm saying is we're letting these questions manifest themselves in the wrong way. Who gives a damn about what happens after the loss? I care about what happens on the basketball court. And this Knicks team, especially without Brunson, has to find answers for baskets. They need to be better defensively. They need to be better defensively on the perimeter. Mikal Bridges needs to fight through some damn screens. He needs to be the same defensive player he was in Brooklyn and the same defensive player he was in Phoenix. And then you got, I'm sorry, as much as I love the coach and I don't think the coach should be fired, this kind of narrative is when we start talking about the coach. This noise around the fan base and the toughness is when we're going to start to really wonder what this coach is, because let's be honest, that's who he is. When you think of a Tibbs team, what do you think? Tough, defensive. This team, those are its two biggest weaknesses. Those are its two biggest weaknesses. Now, we could talk about the players they've added. Mikal Bridges isn't tough. He's tough enough to stand up to the coach about minutes. We talk about Karl Anthony Towns. Well, you know, when someone questions his dedication or his manlyhood or whatever you want to say, Draymond Green questioned, he was tough. This team doesn't have that same grittiness, that same fight, that same just, I guess you could say, togetherness as last year's team. And now it's really starting to manifest itself. And when you see Brunson goes down, it's even more obvious because they can't rely on the amount of talent they have. You're going to have to dig deep. Not with elbows, not with knees, not with throwing guys into the second row. It's a different NBA. They need to figure out how to find their game in the tough moments. Not find the locker room as soon as the final whistle blows because they can't shake hands. Like my last concern is who's shaking hands with someone who said something ridiculous from a guy who says nothing but ridiculous things. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you, filling in for Keith. Got you all the way until midnight, our five-hour midnight ride, or tonight's case, ride to midnight. We'll get a bit. We'll talk about the Johnnies, obviously, as they have completed the turnaround, the number two seed in the tournament, ready to go with Rick Pitino. We'll talk about the matchups they face. Can they beat Florida if they're lucky to get so far, as everyone seems to think Florida is the best team in the country, the way they played the last 3 weeks or so. We'll get to that. We'll get to the more Yankee injuries. Another impressive performance from a Mets starting pitcher. It's getting ridiculous now. It's getting ridiculous now as we are just 10 days away from opening day. And no, I don't count what the Dodgers and the Cubs are about to do in less than 12 hours. But we'll get to it all. McMonagle here with you, filling in for Keith. 888-808-1019. Your call's next as we ride all the way to midnight on this Monday evening on The Fan.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Santana into the windup. The payoff pitch on the way. Swung on and missed. Strike three. He's done it. Johan Santana has pitched a no-hitter.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, 7:24, McMonagle here with you. You know, I just got a tweet that I forgot. I mentioned, I said the Knicks went to one NBA Finals, that 90s Knicks team. Obviously, they went in 99, but I was talking about the, I mean, they did. I sometimes don't, I kind of view those, like, when I think of the 90s Knicks, I don't think of the Houston Sprewell. I know Patrick's on the team. He got hurt, the Canby Knicks. Like, they're a little different than, and I was talking about how tough they were. And that team was tough, and God knows Van Gundy was, too. But, like, I mentioned Oakley and Mason. Like, neither of those guys were on that team. But, yes, they went to two NBA championships. And we hearken back to it like it's the golden age. And that's more pathetic and speaks to the issue of the franchise more than, I love that team, too. But we talk about it like we should, try and get back there. They didn't win then either. They didn't win. And I'd like a tough basketball team. I want a winning basketball team. And if I thought, the toughest, team in the NBA in 2025 is the team that wins the NBA Finals, then please go be the toughest. But is it? They need some of that. But the idea that, it's a bad look. I don't know about you. I'm just saying. If I have a problem with someone and then they beat me, walking away and not acknowledging it, not giving them their, hey, you said something, I had a problem with it, I wanted to beat your ass tonight. I didn't. Next time. Like, to just walk away seems weak.
You think that's tough? You think that's sending the right message? Because I don't. I really don't. Other than we all have to hate him because my one teammate hates him. Let's beat him next time. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls. Let's go to Alex in Bernardsville. What's up, Alex? Alex, you there?
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. Oh, you there? You got me?
Yeah, I'm here.
Ooh. Oh, man.
Are you there?
I'm here, man. Thanks for holding out for me.
Of course.
Before I get to my next point, real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just want to comment about a podcast I saw you on, the Sports Pod with Ben Ballion.
Yes.
Real good stuff, man.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, Ben does a nice little job. He definitely does. Yeah, it's a great show. He did a really nice job. We had some fun.
Now, to the Knicks, and I kind of want, it's a long-winded point, bear with me, if you can liken it to the Mets, I'm really tired of how everyone has romanticized last year's team.
Mm-hmm.
It was great. It was awesome. Yep. And as a Knicks fan forever, we needed it, right? We needed some fun. We needed some juice.
Yep.
But they weren't going to win the championship. Now, when I bring it to the Mets, it's kind of the same idea and one of my fears for this season.
Yeah.
That the romanticization isn't going to be there. However, when I look back at what the Knicks did, bringing in Kat, bringing in Bridges, those are the moves that are going to get them towards that championship caliber. Now, it's unfortunate that, you know, Cleveland has taken this monster step, and now the Knicks are going to have to get through both Cleveland and Boston, right?
Yeah.
But I don't think... It's panic time yet. I think is more of a process of changing the culture, becoming a winning program. And, I mean, there's 20 years of losing that they had to shake off outside of a good season here and there, right?
Yeah.
But I don't think they have the player yet. I love Brunson. Brunson changed everything for us. I just don't think he's the guy.
Yeah. You don't think Brunson's the guy to lead them? I think he's proven that. I think he's proven he is. I do. I think he's proven he is in every which way. And your point about romanticizing last year, the difference between romanticizing last year's Knicks team and romanticizing last year's Mets team is the Mets team finished. The Mets team, we saw it. It wasn't good enough to beat the Dodgers. It was a great year. They were the best team in the second half of the season. Their rotation, which again they're showing it's spring training, but they're having an incredible spring. But their rotation was great. The lineup was great. They rallied back from 11 games under. All the stuff that we have fun with, the grimace, the everything from the rally pimp to the playoff pumpkin, like, and everything in between. It was just an incredible year, and ultimately, much like the Yankees and everybody else, they weren't good enough to beat the Dodgers. But we saw it. It came to fruition. We watched it play out. They didn't really lose anybody that was, you know, devastating to their prospects of winning. They just got beat. The thing about this Knicks team that I really felt like they were going to be compared, we never saw it finish. They got hurt. Randall got hurt. By the end, everybody was hurt. OG Anunoby was hurt. Then Brunson gets hurt in the last game. Like, they just couldn't provide any sort of pushback because they lost everybody. So we never actually got to see that team that after they made the OG Anunoby trade last year in January, and it instantly, I mean instantly, made them the best version of themselves. Like, it was the complete perfect trade that, you know, Knicks fans were against, you know, to say goodbye to Quickley and Barrett. It was a tough thing, pill to swallow. But, I mean, there was no, you didn't have to wait a day. Was it Minnesota against Karl Anthony Towns, right? That first game with OG, instantly, that month, they were the best team in the NBA. Like, instantly. And all year, anytime OG Anunoby was on the floor, they won. And then ultimately, they didn't get their chance to have it play out. The Mets season played out. They weren't good enough to beat the Dodgers. The Knicks season never played out, and then they blew it up. Instead of bringing it back and seeing what it was, like we all thought they might, they end up breaking it up, getting Bridges and Towns. And now it's a different team. And we romanticized that team because we fell in love with that team. We hadn't seen basketball like that in 20-plus years. And now we always compare the two, right? I mean, you hear it all the time. Are they as good as last year's team? Are they better than last year's? Because it's a completely different team, and we never got to see what that team was capable of. So you're constantly trying to figure out whether they're better than last year's team or not. It's a foolish endeavor. I agree with you. Like, we shouldn't be doing it nearly as much as we are. But it is a little bit different because there's the element of what if. Last year's Met ride was incredible, but there is no what if. They weren't good enough to beat the Dodgers. Now they've added Juan Soto. Maybe they will be. Hopefully, Met fans are hoping they will be. But this is different because you're not even you're comparing it to a ghost that never existed, or, you know, like, it's, we never got to see it. And that team was built on guts and guile. It had some talent. Brunson emerged as a superstar. Randall was, you know, an excellent player who was shooting less, getting to the basket more, was kind of changing who he was, and was clearly a second scoring option for them, or really for a lot of the start of the year, the first scoring option for them. OG came in, played great defense. DiVincenzo, great from three. Like, they had skills, and they were capable, and they were the best team in basketball for a month, and then we never got to see it. Ray in Brooklyn, what's up, Ray?
See, Matt, good evening, man. It's good to hear you a little bit earlier.
That's right. It's good to hear you, Ray. Nothing, you know. Hey, listen, you know, Keith goes on vacation. I get the call. That's it. He's out in sunny Florida checking out Yankee spring training. I'm jealous.
Well, you know what? We're all Yankee fans, and we'll live through Keith a little bit, right?
Yes.
But, see, Mac, I do take great exception to some of the things that I'm hearing, like, on the Knicks. Like, for example, with the last caller, you know, he says that Brunson is not that guy. How is Brunson not that guy?
No, Brunson's the guy.
He's a top five-ish. Yeah. He's a top five-ish, definitely a top 10 player in this league, statistically, plus what he provides with leadership and culture, right?
And clutch.
He's number one
and clutch.
The best player in the clutch. Yeah. So that's one thing I take exception to. The other thing is, the whole OG thing, I know we're big on that, but, like, guess who else was on the floor every time that OG won the game? Josh Hart, Jalen Brunson. Mm-hmm. So and he's 2-3 now without him. We were just 5-1 without him. So that's a little bit overstated. But here's the thing, right?
I was just saying that last year they had an incredible record with OG Anunoby.
But Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart was on that team too. So, like, you know, it's like people want to give OG all that credit, and I get it. He was vitally important, but, like, let's slow down a little bit on that. But as far as Tom Thibodeau, I wholeheartedly disagree, C-Mac, and respectfully disagree. Just a season ago, the Knicks had the most mental, psychological, emotional, and physically tough team in the league. Just 1 year ago. Tom Thibodeau's still the same guy. Yeah. So to blame the lack of toughness on Tom Thibodeau, I think is unnecessarily.
Yeah, but Ray, I'm not blaming it on him. I'm just stating facts. I'm not saying it's his fault necessarily. I'm not saying he's coaching a different way. Clearly, with the minutes and the way and his rotations and how much of the bench he uses, he's not changing. I mean, that's the conversation. What I'm saying is when I think of a Tibbs-led team, the major question and the major negative we will all have is the minutes. How many minutes he's playing, the limited amount he's using the bench. We see Karl-Anthony Towns hobbled with, you know, a minute 45 left in a 17-point game, and he's out there. Like, that's the main issue we have with him, the narrative that he's not the coach to get someone get a team over the hump, and then the way he handles the bench and the minutes, and the team is dead by the end of the season. That's the biggest flaw, perceived or otherwise, with this coach, and that is on the forefront. It's still right there, hasn't gone anywhere, none of this has helped. In fact, you know, one of his players in Bridges came out and openly said that he views it as an issue and he should, you know, play more guys instead of me, play the bench, sit me a few minutes. Like, so not only is that still there where his own players are echoing the chorus of the fan base screaming about it, but his biggest strengths, or what his perceived biggest strengths are to build a like you just said, what they were last year. What'd you say? Mentally, physically, emotionally,
the toughest team in the NBA and one hell of a defensive team. That's what I think of when I think of Tibbs teams. I think of the narrative that he can't get over the hump, the narrative that he plays his starters too many minutes, that he's going to have a tough-minded, physical team who plays defense. And right now, the negatives are right on the forefront, and the positives aren't there. Instead, they are a team that can shoot, well, at least at the start of the year, a team, and while they were building this record, a team that can shoot the three, a team that on any given night can be dynamic offensively and put up 140, a team that's clutch in the final moments, which you could argue is part of being tough and mentally tough. They've got the most clutch player in the NBA, and if you just look at their overall numbers, just look at their field percentage, their field goal percentage numbers late in games, they're excellent. They have played well for the most part down the stretch of these games and pulled them out of the fire. And they can score a hell of a lot of points, but they're not good defensively, and right now we're all questioning their toughness. Now, again, they have plenty of time. They have plenty of time. It starts tonight against Miami in a game they should win. The schedule, as Evan was talking about as the show was ending, the schedule is getting easier. We talked about how tough the West Coast run was. Now you're playing teams like, you know, Miami, you're playing teams like San Antonio, you're playing teams like the Wizards, you're playing teams that they should be able to handle and beat. And I think everyone expects this Knicks team to figure out a way, even without Brunson, to be the three seed heading to the playoffs. And then it's going to come down to whether or not they are tough enough to beat the best teams in the East. That's the only question left for this team. And we're so desperate for the answer that, we'll crawl through the desert towards an oasis, and when we find out that it's a mirage, we'll drink the sand. That's how desperate we are. And that, to me, the idea that they didn't shake hands after the game is drinking the sand. We're so desperate to find out if they're tough or not, we're making up reasons why we think we know the answer. They got to go out there and win games, plain and simple. My goal the other night, I wish they won by 10, and then everybody went out and patted him on the back for 20 minutes out on the floor and asked him if they could join the podcast. Like, that's what I would have preferred, as opposed to losing the game and stomping off, huffing and puffing, stomping our feet and holding our breath like my kids. Let's go to Ryan in Edgewater. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, how are you, Chris?
Good. How are you?
Good. I used to be a kind of like a diehard Sixers fan.
Mm-hmm. What happened?
Kind of have lost interest in the NBA, honestly.
Okay.
But, you know, listening and kind of, you know, loosely following the season, this Knicks group reminds me a lot of the Sixers. And the reason why I say that is, mm-hmm, you look back on all those Sixers teams that were very good. You had an emerging Joel Embiid, very similar to the Sixers finding Brunson. You add some of these other players to the core. You load up the team and acquire Jimmy Butler, similar to how the Knicks now get Karl Anthony Towns.
Mm-hmm.
Never made it out of the second round. And that's what's going to happen to the Knicks. I mean, they're out of moves at this point. You have Bridges, you have Pat, you really can't do anything else. This is the team. Just like the Sixers had their team, they made a desperate move. They got Harden. They made another desperate move.
Yeah.
They got Paul George. It got worse and worse and worse every year. And all those teams never made it out of the second round. And when you look at the landscape of the Eastern Conference, it sucks.
Well, I mean, the Cavs pretty much had their team. I know they traded for Hunter at the midseason, but they got off to that great record pretty much with the same guys who have failed them in the past.
Yes, but
just because this team is together doesn't mean they're destined not to get better playing together.
But there's a gap. But there's a gap, right? They cannot beat the Cavs. They can't beat the Celtics.
Well, up until this year, the Cavs couldn't beat the Knicks. Like, but that's what I'm saying. Like, you're making an estimation on this team put together, and so this is what we know will be forever. When the Cavs were pretty much the same guys with, you know, Garland and obviously Spider and you know, Spider Mitchell and everybody. It was pretty much the same team. They've added a couple pieces, but it's pretty much the same team that now is the, you know, won 16 games in a row, and everyone expects to be there in the finals against the Celtics. So I think this team could still get better. You're right, though. It's not going anywhere. This is the team. The starting five is the starting five.
Like, they might add, you know, minor pieces. We'll see. The owner was on a podcast talking about it. He pretty much said Leon Rose is done. He's like, he's built the team. This is the team. Hopefully it's good enough to win a championship in the next couple of years. They're just starting to build this chemistry. They're just starting to build this team. I don't know what they will be. I know what they are now, which is a team that has not yet shown me the ability or given me any confidence that they can beat the Cavs or that they can beat the Celtics or they can beat Oklahoma City or that they can win an NBA championship, no matter who they have to play. Like, they have not shown me that that is the type of team that they can be. But that doesn't mean they won't, and it certainly doesn't mean they're doomed for the next handful of years. We'll see what this team provides. And things can change inside a group. Because I'll be totally honest with you, I don't think it doesn't take that much more. Like, if Mikal Bridges just plays defense like he did last year or the year before with Brooklyn, they're much improved. If Karl Anthony Towns stays a little bit healthier, maybe gets a little bit tougher in these big games, doesn't disappear against the Celtics. Now, you say that's his MO and that's destined to happen forever. I don't know that. Maybe a Mitch Robinson who can actually move, is healthy, can help the defensive end of the team. If, you know, there's ways for this group to get better than they've been. But right now, it's good enough to be a 3 seed, and we'll see if it's good enough to do more than that. But right now, they have not answered that question. And they weren't going to answer it by snubbing handshakes after the game. 888-808-1019. All right, we'll come back with a quick break. We got to talk about the Giants, as Ian Rappaport just tweeted out something that is very interesting about, yep, you guessed it, Aaron Rodgers. So we got to talk about Aaron Rodgers, Jameis Winston, and what the Giants should do at the quarterback position. We got more injuries for the New York Yankees. And the Mets have yet to find a terrible pitcher that they can make one hell of a spring training out of. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Quick break. Come back with more of your calls next.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Swung on. There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 7:49, McMonagle here with you. Knicks off to a rip-roaring start. Woo! Yelling about how tough you are, don't you listen? All right, McMonagle here with you, filling in for Keith in the evening. How about this? Maybe I'll get to go home and have some actual sleep. That'd be nice. Instead of trying to sleep in the afternoon, which I'm getting accustomed to. It takes a while. It took a long time. Felt like I got used to it. The thing is between vacation and working a lot of different shifts, I had like a good 2 or 3 week run with hardly working the overnight during Christmas. And like it set me back. I had to find myself yet again. So I'm finding myself, but here I am. You know who needs to find himself? Aaron Rodgers. Because he needs to come up with a decision. Ian Rappaport is reporting. Now, it's just Ian Rappaport's report. He is reporting that Aaron Rodgers could take past the NFL draft to make his decision. I find that hard to believe that he will need another month here. I don't think it will take that long, but let me just say this right now for the New York Giants, as they are waiting right now for that response from Aaron Rodgers. They've got an offer out to Aaron Rodgers, waiting to hear back from him. So is Pittsburgh. While he waits, I don't know how much he's actually mulling over retirement. I think he just wants to go to Minnesota. I think he wants to be a Viking. Play indoors, great offensive-minded head coach, 2 stud wide receivers. They just won 14 games. That's a good spot for him. That's what he wants to go do. And I think he's waiting for them to make the decision. Fine, right? That's the reports. We all agree with that. Let me just say this for the New York Giants, who have now brought in Russell Wilson. Tomorrow, they will bring in Jameis Winston, and they also looked at Joe Flacco. These are the three quarterbacks the New York Giants have interviewed, talked to, as they wait for Aaron Rodgers. So let me just say this, and I want to be completely clear. I don't care how long they have to wait. I will wait until the sun bursts into 1,000 fiery pieces. I don't care. A month, what's the difference? Like, honestly, the rest of the options are awful. Joe Flacco, Russell Wilson, Jameis Winston. I could put them in an order for you. You want to call me up and ask me 888, which one do you like better? I could put them in order and tell you which one I'd prefer and which one, I guess, if I'm picking from those three, I could eloquently tell you why I like this one as opposed to that one. They're all trash. None of them make a difference for me. Put them all in the same bag and put it under, I don't want them. Knicks finally get a basket. I don't want them. So to me, I'm still looking to draft a quarterback, no matter which, whether it's Rodgers or any of those guys. I'm still, in my mind, looking to draft a quarterback. I know reports are that it's less and less likely that Tennessee is going to move that first pick, but I am still looking to draft a quarterback, no matter who it is. So I don't care how long I have to wait. I don't care who I miss out on. I don't care which quarterback I have to force to sign. To me, there is no real difference between any of those three that significantly impact this coming season. Aaron Rodgers is the only quarterback for me that makes an impact. He's it. I want him desperately for the New York Giants. I want Aaron Rodgers. I want to draft a quarterback. That's the dream. I've been saying it for a month and a half. That's the dream. And if I miss out on Russell Wilson, oh well. Him and his weird Subway commercials can go elsewhere. I don't care. And we'll get into all the reasons. We'll get into all the reasons why I don't care, Russell Wilson. All the traits that are apparently placed on Aaron Rodgers, the bad guy in the room, the cancer in the clubhouse. I mean, and then you want to turn around. The same people who call Aaron Rodgers a cancer in the clubhouse want to go sign Russell Wilson. They want to go sign Russell Wilson, whose teammates have fully acknowledged they can't get in touch with him unless they go through his PR department. While every single Jet player is so furious that Rodgers isn't the quarterback, they had to be talked to by the head coach because they were publicly voicing their outrage. Russell Wilson's teammates can't get a hold of him because he's either busy in the office he demanded or you got to go through his PR department. But yet, he's the clubhouse cancer. Can't have Aaron Rodgers in the room. Bring in Mr. Unlimited. That's a good idea. Joe Flacco, are we serious? Even Jameis Winston, who would be my next best option. I would pick Jameis Winston over Russell Wilson for a lot of different things because I know he'll sling it. And the best thing that this coach ever did, Brian Daboll, was limit the turnovers for Daniel Jones. Maybe that's a particular skill set for him. If you could limit the turnovers from Jameis Winston, he's going to throw it all over the place. And I do think that you would see some development and really a great season from Malik Nabers. And if I could at least get that while I'm mentoring the young quarterback, then I guess I'm on board. Plus, I think he's a better guy. His teammates love him. Does his weird quotes and his preachy nature kind of wear thin after a while? Yes. But to first step into the clubhouse, to go out there, throw a bunch of different, throw a bunch of touchdowns, throw it all over the place while teaching a young kid who's going to be drafted at the top of the draft, we hope, and be able to give them the idea of like, hey, I was the first overall pick. I know the trials and tribulations. I've suffered with this. I struggled with that. Like, I could see that being an option over Russell Wilson. I could see that being an option over Joe Flacco. So, like, I don't care. I will wait. I will wait for you, Aaron Rodgers. Take as long as you need. I am not worried on missing out on anything. And I don't feel like, the Giants can't let him dictate the situation. This is a, whatever we want to say, this is a four-time MVP Super Bowl champion. This is the first time, believe it or not, he is hitting free agency. He's allowed to take some time to think what's best for him. And he's allowed to wait out the Minnesota Vikings situation. He's earned that right. He's got three teams who want him, or at least two we know of, and he's waiting for a third. That doesn't make him a bad guy. And the media reaction to it, can we make a decision already? I mean, it's, you know, what are you going to take 10 years to pick a lunch order? Like, that's the analogy we're making. Lunch. Lunch. The guy's allowed to take some time, and he can take all the time he wants. Just pick the New York Giants, that's all. Rodgers and the draft pick. The dream. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. 1 hour down, four more to go on our ride to midnight on this Monday evening. We got an act coming up right after the break, and we'll come back on the other side. Take your calls on Aaron Rodgers. We'll get to the baseball. We'll get to St. John's as well. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you, filling in for Keith all the way to midnight right here on The Fan.